I'm Marty Moscowen. Welcome to Radio Times. The Philadelphia School District is run by the School Reform Commission. The SRC has been doing this for the last 15 years when it was taken over by the state. In that time, the district has opened many new charter schools, dealt with a budget crisis leading to layoffs and school closures, seen mixed and modest academic gains, and heard increasing calls for the SRC to be abolished. Governor Wolf and Mayor Kenney recently selected two new members of the SRC to replace two who resigned in the fall. Another member's term expires this month. Interestingly, both Wolf and Kenney have said the SRC should be replaced with a local school board. Our guests have two very different perspectives on the School Reform Commission, and let me introduce them to you. Helen Gim is Councilwoman at Large, Chair of the Committee on Children and Youth, co-founded Parents United for Public Education, and co-founded the Philadelphia Public School Notebook. And Helen Gim, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Good morning, Marty.
Good morning. Bill Green was Councilman at Large, was Chair, and is now a member of the School Reform Commission and is special counsel at the law firm of Dilworth Paxson LLP. And Bill Green, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Thank you very much.
Let me begin with you, if I could, Bill Green, because you were chair and you now sit on the board. Are Philadelphia school students better off under the SRC than under a school board?
I don't think it's that simple. I mean, it is the goal of the School Reform Commission to put the school district in a position where we can return it to local control. I think over the last 3 years since the School Reform Commission of, say, Feather Houston, Pedro Ramos, Joe Jaretsky, et cetera, we've moved in that direction, going from a $600 million deficit to now a surplus over a relatively short period of time. Very painful actions were taken to get us there. But I do believe ultimately we should return to local control as soon as we have a clear academic foundation, which I believe we're getting from Dr. Height, who is now making investments, $440 million over the next 5 years for the first time since he's been superintendent. So I expect academic progress to increase more than marginally and incrementally as it has while we've actually made cuts, which is, I think, impressive. But so I'm proud of where we are. And I believe we're getting close to a place where it makes sense to turn it back over to local control after more state funding and a few more years of a steady hand.
Does that seem like a plan to you, Helen Gim?
Not a few more years part. I don't think that there's a sentiment yet either in the public or anywhere around those who are really invested in schools to see the SRC linger for a number of years. The SRC, there are 500 school districts in the state of Pennsylvania, and every single one of them, with the exception of at times largely poor minority school districts, are entirely governed by a locally elected school board. So I think it's important to not normalize the SRC, to say that it's an okay body. It was supposed to be an exceptional tool used in an extraordinary moment of crisis. It's been around for 16 years, and it's time for it to go. I think that—
Is the crisis over?
No, it's absolutely not over. And it's been perpetuated in large parts, I think, because we have an unelected, anti-democratic, and somewhat, ineffective body right now that is perpetuating a lot of problems that are going on, including the ability to create a broad-based coalition around the state to fight for really what's the central problem here in Philadelphia and across the Commonwealth, which is fair funding and an equitable funding formula.
There is a new formula, though.
There is a new formula, and it's important to note that the SRC was a relatively bit player in the establishment of probably what was the most important advocacy win in the state of Pennsylvania, when they should have been at the forefront of the crafting of those solutions. So, and more importantly, I think that as we go forward, because we have this great formula in place, we need to expand it and make sure that it applies more broadly. And we need the partners, and we need an invested group of folks who are going to go to Harrisburg and see this as a broader statewide initiative to make that be a truly transformational tool. We don't really need an emergency management system being perpetuated here to say that that's going to continue.
What okay. I hear Helen Gim saying is that the SRC is undemocratic.
Well, of course, that's not true. It's appointed by elected officials, as many boards and authorities are across the state. It is different than other school districts. And frankly, the SRC, when it was first put in place, should have done many of the things that the SRC is doing today. It was ineffective and not meeting its goals for the first few years. They basically relied on the cult of personality and brought in a Paul Vallis and said, okay, that's going to solve the problem. Then an Arlene Ackerman and said, okay, that's going to solve the problem. But during Arlene Ackerman's tenure, Mayor Nutter controlled the SRC. He had two of his own appointees. His wife, the wife of his chief of staff, was in a gubernatorial appointee. He had 3 out of 5 members, and her tenure was a disaster. In terms of local control, the only thing that will matter for the SRC or for any local school board is taxing authority. The big problem the SRC has is that it does not have the ability to raise revenue itself and so must rely on its city and state partners. With respect to a few of the things Helen said, for example, the SRC was not involved in the fair funding formula. I met many times with Pat Brown and Mike Verb, who were majority General Assembly members of the Fair Funding Commission. Bill Height went and testified. I testified, sent in written testimony. The school district and the SRC were intimately involved in crafting the funding formula behind the scenes, working with the leaders of the General Assembly that were doing so, and continue to work with many rural school districts lobbying in Harrisburg. We choose not to be very public about the success that we're having working with the General Assembly in moving things forward to put us in a position to eventually eliminate ourselves.
But why not be more public?
Because people are coming to us asking for advice. What do you think? And if we go out and take credit for it instead of give the people who are doing the work credit for it, it does not help us in Harrisburg.
And I think that's what I'm talking about when we talk about undemocratic processes. So I think it extends pretty far. I mean, when I say I'm pretty critical of the SRC, there's no question, because I come here not only as a council member, but predominantly as a mom. And I've had, when the SRC was first established, I had 2 children. I now have 3, one who is just entering kindergarten. And today, my daughter's graduated, my son's in his last year of high school, and my daughter's in 8th grade. And not a single year have they received adequate funding in this school district under the SRC's leadership. And that is a huge problem. But when we talk about anti-democratic, I think what we're talking about is the fact that the SRC doesn't deliberate in public. It prefers kind of backdoor conversations and things that are done outside of, normal public processes. It's pushed through ideas that would not make it through normal public processes, including mass school closures, canceling of contracts, and other things. And it's not been a major player. When I say that it was a small player in the establishment of the funding formula, what I mean is that there is a broad-based coalition of people all across the state who are pushing hard at the Commonwealth level, at the statewide level, to really see an investment around the transformation of funding in our school system. That includes the Supreme Court lawsuit, which the SRC hasn't been a partner on. And it includes being very vocal and clear about how this looks, not just for Philadelphia, but for across the Commonwealth.
Well, let me pick up on several things that both of you have said. One of the things that Bill Green said is that, and it's true, the SRC has no ability to raise taxes. City Council does. What could City Council do to help the public schools or even help the SRC?
Well, City Council has done a lot to help the public schools, and we're going to do more. There are a number of things. One, of course, money matters. And so we've seen a significant increase in the amount of money from local sources that have gone on, while the state level at the same time has plummeted, quite frankly. On the other end, I've been really serious about what it looks like to see an alternative to the SRC. I believe in local democratic governance. I believe in people's voices to go out there. So we've had 8 to 12 different hearings and town halls. Co-sponsored by my committee, the Children and Youth Committee, and the Education Committee, we've gone out and built a durable public education investment. We got full-time nurses and counselors back into our schools, largely because parents and community members have been pushing on this relentlessly. We put back in attention to school discipline, class size. We brought attention to this teacher vacancy issue, largely because the public has been pushing on this. And I think that there is both this macro discussion about funding, but there are also things that we have to do now to ensure that our public is deeply invested in our schools. And that's where the SRC really falls down. It doesn't go out into the public. It doesn't converse with other people. It keeps one meeting a month in very narrow formats. And,
Well, let me give Bill Green a chance to respond to that. How much of the decision-making goes on privately or behind closed doors?
That's, of course, ridiculous. We have sunshine laws that apply to us, except for matters that are judicial in nature, which would be some of the charter school issues where we're sort of serving as a quasi-judicial body. Everything we do has to be done in public. We can't take an action without having a public meeting, giving notice of that meeting, taking that action. And so I feel like we're complying with state law and more. I also believe that all of the things that Helen mentioned that we're very proud of, which is having a nurse in every school, full-time counselors, et cetera, are all part of Bill Hite's plan. The only reason they were gone is because we lost $600 million in funding in 1 year, had to borrow $300 million, had to make a lot of painful cuts. We need more adults in all of our school buildings, not just nurses, counselors. We need additional instructional leaders. We need many more assistant principals so that we can actually be training, you know, teachers and being in the classroom with them much more often. We know what we have to do. We don't have the resources to do it. Only City Council and the General Assembly can give it to us.
Well, let me go back to you, Helen. Let me raise something else. And this has been some criticism of elected school boards, which is that there has been low turnout. They are rarely contested. This is sort of looking broad-based. I'm not pointing fingers at any particular school board or not. And then it doesn't necessarily represent the diversity of the population it's supposed to represent. And there's a concern about the influence of interest groups. How do you respond to that?
I think that's a problem with elections in general. I don't think it's a problem with school boards only. And the fact of the matter is, again, it's important not to normalize the SRC. It's also important to recognize normal school boards are 9 members. This SRC is 5. It's down to 4. They haven't been able to move on important decisions like charter school accountability because they're stuck at these places. You know, this year has been particularly questionable about the school board's ability, that the SRC's rather ability to hold to democratic processes, because there was a controversial assignment which involved a charter operator that broke lobbying laws, for example, to win a contract around Worcester Elementary School. They were sued by a local advocacy group for failing to adhere to standard operating procedures followed by every single other public body. They settled on that and were waiting for them to implement it. They have a long outstanding ethics request that they establish ethical standards that address things like conflicts of interest, lobbying training, and other types of things that they failed to do. So I don't think that I think it's not really great to focus in on the SRC because it's been flawed for 16 years. It's time for it to go. And I think Bill agrees with that. But I think it's more important to kind of focus in on the future, that there is a Merrill appointment board that has actually a fairly robust process that I think is worth discussing as well.
I want to talk about the future, but I want to give you a chance, Bill Green, just a quick response before our break to what Helen just said.
It's hard to respond to Helen because she brings in so many different things, some of which are factual, some of which are not factual. And so literally, I just want to say that the SRC is doing what I think is yeoman's work right now. I'm very proud of what we've accomplished over the last 4 years. We now are in a position where we can put money on the table for the PFT and finally give the teachers a raise, et cetera. I think a locally elected school board would be essentially controlled by the PFT. They would spend the money electing them, as they have Governor Wolf, as they did Helen Gim and others. And so I think it's a dangerous prospect, but I'm happy to talk about a Merrill-appointed board.
Absolutely. We're going to take a very short break and get back to our conversation. Two very different perspectives on the School Reform Commission here in Philadelphia. That's Bill Green, former chair, now a member of the SRC, and City Councilwoman Helen Gim, a longstanding critic of the SRC. Much more after this very short break. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne, talking with Helen Gim and with Bill Green about the School Reform Commission, established in 2001, took over the Philadelphia School District that was dealing at the time with a financial and academic crisis. The Board of Education replaced by the SRC, whose members are appointed by the governor and the mayor. Well, we want to hear from you at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. And an answer to a question from our engineer: the SRC members do not get paid, just so that everyone knows that. Is there, though, some agreement? And I'm not trying to put a happy face on our discussion here, because I appreciate the passions and the different perspectives, and I don't think there's anything more important than educating our children. But is there something that you can both agree on about what is a good school? I mean, you started a charter school, Helen, that apparently has done extraordinarily well. It's a blue ribbon nominee here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, I'm an educator at heart, and I firmly believe strongly in the issue of resources and how things happen at the school-based level. I've been incredibly impressed with the latest wave of school reformers who kind of helicopter into school districts and want to talk about structures and management and restructuring of this and that, and don't fundamentally take a look at what's happening in a classroom, the interaction between a teacher and a child, between a teacher and a parent,
a
school and a community is fundamental.
Are you talking about Superintendent
Height, for instance? No, I think that it's a general problem with big school districts that look for this big savior. They bring in big name individuals who sweep in with big entourages, big salaries, and they come in with pretty, you know, standardized ideas that aren't reflective of the needs of school districts. So,
but you're not suggesting Bill Height's doing that.
We've been really focused in on, focusing in on resources within schools, the actual needs of the students that are here. We educate a high population of students with special needs. We have a high population of immigrant students that requires us to have a really, really good teaching force.
Right.
And too often, I feel like, especially with this school reform commission, we've undervalued our professional development of our teachers. It's important to note that the surplus that we've got in the school district is not because of good financial management, but because we haven't been staffing our schools. We're failing to staff our schools adequately, and that ranges all across the board. And that's why we've got a surplus. It's not because we're doing good finances.
But are you saying that is your critique aimed at Superintendent William Height?
I think my critique is aimed at the year. When you asked me what is a quality school,
right.
I think that it really has to look at the kinds of resources that are happening in schools and the ability to stay super local and cognizant of the needs of our district. I think it's difficult to do that when we've got superintendents sweeping in every 3 to 5 years, making, quick assessments. And it's a flaw.
Well, in fact, before going on the air, Bill, and to our listeners and to Helen as well, we were talking about how many superintendents, how many interim superintendents. There has been a bit of a churn here in Philadelphia.
Right. And what the SRC provides is continuity. And in fact, we've just renewed Bill Height's contract until 2022. So Bill will have Bill essentially that's 8 years he will have been here if he stays till the end of his contract. We're very lucky to have a man of his caliber. I would not say that he's doing that. I would not put him in the category that Helen is describing, say, an Arlene Ackerman or a Paul Vallis or other people who ran our district. In fact, Bill knows what to do in schools, and his team is working to get the resources to do that. I would say, for example, Kelly and Blaine are two neighborhood public schools that had what we call an in-district renaissance. So we brought in new principals, instructional leaders. They spent a year planning the sort of takeover of a school. All the teachers had to reapply for their jobs. They hired who they wanted into the buildings. They got an extra $500,000 a year each school. And the results there in traditional public schools are excellent because there are longer school days, longer school years. There's many more instructional leaders and strong leadership in the schools. The regular PFT rules don't apply because the teachers agreed to waive some of them, which they can do in every single building, but it doesn't happen in most buildings in the public schools. There's
but
a constant
is that the
feedback
model going
for
forward
teachers.
Then? Is that the model going
it's,
forward?
It's if the it is a model that is successful, that is replicable, and there are many things like that, like new schools we've started that are like the new school and other high schools, et cetera. And we're looking at the results from these models, and then we'll apply what works and shut down what doesn't work, frankly.
What's wrong with that? Which is
two schools out of 218.
But I'm just saying the philosophy, whether it's realistic or not, the idea of take what's working and replicate it and shut down what doesn't work.
Well, one, there's a question of why things don't work. And I think that that's a very serious question. And I don't think the SRC has been able to figure out why things don't work. Under their watch, a lot of really important issues, in fact, the most important issue largely fell off their radar, which was the failure to staff schools adequately. And that this has been a central problem within our public schools. They failed to pay attention to things like the Renaissance Schools program, which was an extremely expensive program that was starting to become dysfunctional. They've held on to it. They still today refused to vote in on two of the Renaissance operators that haven't been able to fulfill their mandates. There's a whole host of other issues that they haven't paid attention to. And I don't think that I would call that continuity. I would say that they're in by fiat and decree. They're not in because of continuity. And so I think that what we want to see and go towards is a much more broad-based, engaged and politically diverse school board that will truly respond and improve the democratic engagement of our families and communities that are really involved right now. I think that we're in a different place than we were 16 years ago. We don't need an antiquated SRC telling us what you know they want to do. I think that we are really engaged in creating a lot of solutions on the ground. And the SRC is increasingly kind of falling back on some of those things and not paying attention.
Well, go ahead, Milgram.
Of course, there's broad statements with no factual support. And just a couple of quick things. Bladen Kelly is a potential model for the future. The things that are happening there are replicable in other schools. The SRC is gotten us on a firm financial footing, not just because of staffing issues, although, of course, we did have to lay off 4,000 teachers in order to get to where we are. So,
Which is shocking when you think about it.
So the fact, and we took our administrative staff from like a 6% of the budget to just over 3% today. So a lot of the hard – we had to close 33, 34 facilities. That is the kind of thing that has gotten us to a firm financial footing, including staffing. But, of course, you can say it's staffing because we had to do some very – you know, things. But for example, the substitute teacher crisis, which happened last year, I would say that the SRC was all over that when that didn't work out. We now have a fill rate that is in the 99%. It's much better than the city's fill rate for its unfilled positions, which is 70%, which I'm sure Helen is looking at into doing something about there. So we essentially are the policy-making body. We're the board of directors. We don't run the schools. And when things don't work out the way we say, we hold Bill Hite and his team accountable, as we did in his annual review with respect to the substitute teacher crisis. He got a needs improvement for staffing and HR, the only poor mark that he got. But we believe he's a great superintendent, and we could not do better in Philadelphia today than to have Bill Hite.
Here's one thing that we would definitely agree on. If the SRC would commit to put into all the turnaround schools the kind of resources per pupil that are allocated to Bladen Kelly, would you be willing to do that?
Absolutely, if you send us the money.
Well, you know, money, I hear almost every sentence out of both of your mouths have to do with money. Is money the solution then, Helen?
I think there's a broader vision that needs to be at play. And I think that part of it is understanding the role of the public in a lot of this, that when the SRC and when the district invests in broad-based investments in schools, rather than a we're closing the shop down, everyone flee and run for the hills, you know, we see a much different kind of approach. And I think that when the SRC says we'll only do things if we have the money to do them, they're not thinking about vision because
well,
they don't actually approach.
They're following state law when we say that because we can't spend more than we have, Helen. I mean, that's just – of course we have to say that. That's the whole point of having an SRC and an elected school board might just, as you recommended a couple of years ago, spend it all till March and then stop running the schools to force the state to
so
give us money.
So that doesn't apply when they talk about executive salary. That doesn't apply when they talk about charter school expansion. That doesn't apply when they talk about Renaissance schools. So clearly these are selective ideas about what they choose to invest in. And what I think is – demonstrable here is that the things that they've chosen to invest in versus what the public has largely demanded and what the public largely responds to are vastly different. And so, of course, money matters. But I think the question is that the SRC is spending lots of money and they're just not spending it on the kinds of resources that need to pay it that
you're
are
saying
responsive.
In the classroom.
Right. That I think that they've fallen off. They've allowed things like two schools that Commissioner Green can name that have been viable out of 218 over the 3 years that he's been in leadership is not a large number of things to hang your hat on.
There are many great public schools. I'm giving one example of a replicable model. But the fact of the matter is, no matter what you're running, if things are working, you replicate it. If things aren't working, you shut it down. Some schools that are in the turnaround network, they're not going to be salvageable. Eventually, they're going to have to be closed.
You have two Renaissance schools that aren't working right now, recommended by the district. Why haven't you shut them down?
We are not doing any Renaissance charters this year.
Why haven't you shut down the ones that aren't working?
Helen, I'm trying to address your points. If you're going to interrupt me, your monologue?
Go ahead, and then we'll give you a chance.
Let's just go to questions.
Let me just quickly reintroduce you. That's Bill Green, and he was chair, is now a member of the School Reform Commission here in Philadelphia. Helen Gim is a city councilwoman at large, and she's been a longstanding critic of the School Reform Commission, the SRC. Got some folks that want to join our conversation. That phone number is 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Let me get John from Glenside to join us. John, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm a recently retired teacher from Philadelphia schools, and I'd like to know when there might be an independent inquiry into conflicts of interest involving past and present, Mr. Green, SRC members in terms of their position, especially with regard to charter schools and large-scale contracts from the district. Also, I would like to know what the SRC thinks about school overcrowding in so many of the schools in Philadelphia, to the point where there probably should be an investigation as to whether those schools violate fire laws as well as their decrepit state of maintenance of violating OSHA standards. I'll go offline to hear your response. Thank
John,
you.
Yeah, thanks for calling into Radio Times. Bill Green, conflicts of interest at this at the SRC,
well,
an investigation.
There was just a Philadelphia Board of Ethics review of potential conflicts of interest of one of our members, and they were entirely cleared. These issues are raised as a distraction and a red herring. Under my leadership, we brought in the City of Philadelphia's Inspector General. The Inspector General, Amy Curlin, for the City of Philadelphia, is now the school district's Inspector General, has been for the last year. She can look at anything she wants without talking to us. So we have in my opinion, we have greatly improved oversight of ourselves and of the district by bringing her in. She's done a terrific job in the city. We also have passed ethics policies, et cetera. We are subject to the same ethics laws of the state as every other board and commission, and the State Ethics Commission has received complaints. But they are red herrings and distractions. I'm very proud of the ethics of every member I have served with. They're phenomenal people who give up their time in an unpaid position to do the best that they can. If you disagree with their policies, that does not mean that they're unethical. And people keep filing ethics complaints and they keep being cleared. So with respect to school overcrowding and infrastructure, it's a real issue. Unfortunately, a ton of money was wasted when Arlene Ackerman was superintendent. The stimulus funds should have gone to things that would last once the stimulus ended. That's not what they did. And as a consequence, we missed a real opportunity. And we have a significant capital budget and are making many investments in schools this year.
Let me turn. It's interesting. We're 35 minutes after the hour. We haven't really talked about charter schools. And I know that's certainly a big issue in Philadelphia. And certainly since the SRC has been running the Philadelphia School District. And again, Helen, you founded a charter school. How much do you think charter schools have helped? And we should always focus on the children, have offered opportunities for children and for their parents to pick something that might not have been part of their neighborhood school.
Well, I mean, I think that question is also kind of a red herring. I mean, I think the issue is that we have created the second largest system in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, which is Philadelphia's charter school system. It is and is beginning to mirror much of the Philadelphia public schools themselves. Highly erratic across the spectrum, desperately also not well funded, and has not solved the bigger question of what is at play and got the whole thing, why we're under takeover anyway, which is having a fair funding formula that applies to Philadelphia like it applies to every single school across the Commonwealth. It's wrong, I think, for Arlene Ackerman left 4 years ago. So we've had a lot of time in between then. We've had also some of the most terrible management that we've seen at the state level, but we've also seen changes happen as a result of that, political changes that are sweeping through. And it's really important for the SRC not to just get so fixated in on what it's got, because it's got to look towards the future. It's so focused in on looking down at the narrow numbers that pop up, and then it doesn't look ahead to what we're building towards. And I think that's been a flaw.
That's something that's just factually incorrect and stated as a fact. We have a $440 million investment plan that Bill Heitz put together. We're investing in our schools for the first time last year, and then that investment will continue. Until last year, We had a deficit every single year. As you can recall, every August, Bill was afraid to open our schools because we weren't going to have the resources necessary, and was able to get, sort of using that bullying tactic, additional monies from either the state or city council before Helen was there. And Helen actually worked with us on the SRC and with Bill as we were seeking funding two Augusts ago and the previous August, et cetera. And so where we do agree, Helen and I have worked together in the past, and you know where we disagree, we'll continue to disagree.
And frankly, that's why we wanted you both on the show, because how much you care about this issue as we do. But let me ask you, Bill, about the idea behind charters and bringing them to Philadelphia. As I understand it, was to create competition and in a sense to sort of lift all boats by bringing in this other way of doing education. Has that worked out?
Yes, it writ large. Of course, there are exceptions that violate the general rule, but charter schools as a whole are better than neighborhood public schools in terms of the actual academic results. That's just simply a fact. When you throw in the Mastermans,
that's absolutely not a fact.
That's a fact. When you throw in the Mastermans,
I'll give you a chance,
the Greenfield, et cetera, the citywide or the special admit schools, you can say that they're about equal. There are many charter schools that were created at the beginning of the SRC that need to be shut down. Need to be shut down. That experiment didn't work. We estimate closing 3,000 or 4,000 seats probably over the next 5 years in unsuccessful charter schools. But we're going to replace them with seats in good charter schools. Mm-hmm. I would if I had my way. I mean, so we'll see. We're going to have a very different SRC in the next 6 months, I would say. And so three new members, all new. So that's probably going to change. But I would say, you know, charter schools serve 1/3 of Philadelphia families who send their children to public school. That's a significant number of people, 67,000. And there's tens of thousands of children on waiting lists to get into charter schools. So parents are choosing them because we're not providing a better option in the district. And that's something that we're also working on.
We're going to take a very short break and then get back to our conversation with Bill Green and Helen Gim about the School Reform Commission, which raises a whole host of questions about education. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowen, and if you're just joining us, we're getting two very different perspectives on the School Reform Commission. Helen Gim is councilwoman at large. She's chair of the Committee on Children and Youth. She co-founded Parents United for Public Education, also co-founded the Philadelphia Public School Notebook. Bill Green was councilman at large, had Helen's old job. He was the chair. He's now a member of the School Reform Commission, and he's special counsel at the law firm of Dilworth Paxson LLP. 1-888-477-9499. And you can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Let me get Mike from Germantown to join us. Hi, Mike. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning. Go ahead.
I wonder if both of your guests wouldn't agree that parental involvement, real parental involvement, is the number one key ingredient to having successful children. The thing I'd like to suggest is, I found it interesting as a parochial school system who was drawing kids from the same demographic group had entirely different outcomes than the public school system. And also, I think that as the charter school system was expanding, the parochial school system was contracting, and probably a lot of those kids wound up in the went from parochial schools to the charter schools, which it meant that their involved parents continued on. So I'd love to hear both of them agree on that main point.
Absolutely. Mike, thanks for the call to Radio Times.
I absolutely agree. So as you know, I'm a huge advocate of parent engagement, parent involvement, because I think that if we're going to change this framework about how students in our school districts, particularly high need school districts, are going to change, we have to do it from this framework of dignity, justice, and love. And there's no other entity more than their parents who are going to be able to reframe that. But I think it's also important to understand that our school district could do a lot more around robust development of governance around schools. And so, for example, Chicago and New York have really great models for broader parent and civic engagement in their schools. Local school councils in Chicago are particularly robust. They hire their own principals. New York not only has school-based councils, but regional-based parent councils that allow for parents to have this kind of broad-based engagement. And I think what the caller fully recognizes is it's not just at the individual level, but that parents have a big role to play around this structural engagement. And what I think is important to understand that parents are not the enemy. Parents who demand better for their kids are not asking for too much. Mm. They're the vehicle for us to actually go to the state level, go to our city council, and make sure that all of these entities are fully engaged in building this very invested vision of what our schools can and should be.
Well, how do we get parents and support that kind of
involvement? Of course, once again, what Helen just said is not accurate. The SRC just one of my fellow commissioners, Sylvia Sims, worked for about 2 years on a family engagement policy. We call it family engagement, not parent engagement, because many of the caregivers in the district are not necessarily the parents. They could be grandparents, aunts, uncles, older siblings, et cetera. We have committed to have a SAC in every school, and principals are going to be – that's a school advisory commission,
okay,
sort of like the parent councils that Helen's talking about. Principals are going to be judged as part of the review on whether or not they have achieved that, and they have true active family engagement instead of the same sort of five people who come to every meeting. This is very important to the SRC. It's very important to Dr. Height, and we spent 2 years developing a policy that just passed in the last 3 or 4 months that is intended to address this very issue. So I do agree with the caller. And, of course, unlike as was presented, we have been working on it for a long time and feel like we are have a good policy with accountability and we're moving forward
in that direction. So I just meant to say that it was a more robust version of them what we currently have, including the fact that these parent councils can hire the principals at their school.
Right. In fact,
I think our superintendent should hire our principals.
Okay. That would be an interesting debate to have. But let's talk a bit about the future. The School Reform Commission, as I understand it, Bill, can dissolve itself.
That's correct.
So yep. If you've decided as a body that your work is done, you can say, in a sense, goodbye. We're out of here.
We can decide as a body. It would have to be approved by the education secretary. I'm confident this education secretary would approve of that if we decided to vote to dissolve ourselves.
So what would be better, Helen, looking into the future?
I mean, obviously, you know, I'm personally a fan of the locally elected school board because it's simply what every other school system in the state of Pennsylvania has. But in the meantime, I think that this idea of we actually have a fairly robust process in place for the mayorally appointed school board. So there are 13 nominating members currently encoded in the city charter who would represent a variety of backgrounds, and they can nominate a significant number of nominees. City Council could vote to install some kind of a public process in which we could have public hearings on the nominees, and then the mayor would appoint 9 of them. And 9 is a much more representative body than the 4 that we currently have sitting in the SRC right now. You know, it's also important to note that it's been 2 months since Feather Houston stepped down, and the Harrisburg legislature has still not seated Estelle Richmond.
In 2011,
Feather stepped down in November.
The governor has not sent her name to be approved.
Okay. And then in November, though, it was important to note that almost all of 2011 went by before the Harrisburg legislature seated someone to replace David Gerard DiCarlo. So we don't want to see – we want the basic issue of governance to be taken care of.
Let me quote something. This is from Kenneth Wong. He's Annenberg Professor of Education Policy at Brown University. There was a forum that he was involved in, and one of the findings – mayoral governance has continued to improve student performance in urban districts. Is that enough, Bill Green, to give the SRC some kind of confidence that what Helen described or some version of what she described would work in Philadelphia?
So, certainly, I think the mayor of a major city, when the city is in control of education, needs to be appointing the members of what would then be the board of the school district. Because that person is going to be held accountable for the state of schools. At the moment, the accountability is with the city and the state, and I think a more direct local accountability under a mayoral-appointed school board ultimately is the place to go. I think we need to settle the PFT contract first, because the demands upon the city council, and the politics of that contract and having to negotiate that at the beginning of the mayoral takeover instead of knowing what the salaries and structure is going to be for the next 4 years is very important. Were we to dissolve right now, it would actually not be until the summer of 2018 when we would go away. So there is plenty of time to from the time the SRC takes the vote, the way it's built into the law for the city to take over. And so it will be a couple of years no matter what. If we start today.
But it sounds like you're saying if we can get the teacher contract taken care of and can sort of move on some of these other issues, then our job is done. Or our job will be done.
I feel like we're getting to the point where the SRC has put in place an infrastructure, a really good charter accountability system, all of the things which was totally non-functional before 3 years ago. We have a great charter office now, very professional people. Now that all of that's in place, I feel like we're getting to a place once we have appropriate state funding, which we don't have yet, where we can hand things back over. We still have a structural deficit every single year. We have a $500 million deficit over the next five-year plan. If we gave the PFT what they wanted, it would be $1.1 billion. Nobody's going to pay for that, not the city, not the state. We have to resolve that first.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I think the SRC needs to be dissolved immediately, actually, because they perpetuated the crisis with the teachers' union for the last 4 years that we haven't been able to settle. We weren't able to settle 4 years ago when we needed to have it be settled. And we do need the mayor to establish control over his system. And one of the ways that we can do that is by settling these contracts and then unifying our city around a collective vision for how we approach Harrisburg and the federal government and our city council as well. So I would like to see the SRC be dissolved immediately.
Like tomorrow?
As soon as possible, because they have clearly perpetuated a lot of the crises. I don't have confidence, that we're going to be able to work our way through this or establish things to their satisfaction to be able to do that, or at least to Bill Green's satisfaction.
I have just spent the last 45 minutes describing all of the things that are positive that the SRC has done in the last 4 years, so I disagree with that characterization. The fact of the matter is we want to give teachers a raise. It is unfair that they have not had a raise so long. We have offered – but city workers did not have a raise for 5 years during the recession. In some senses, the school district was shielded from that, so the tough decisions weren't made at the height of the recession. Because there was federal stimulus money that was being spent on operations instead of on infrastructure. And so we're dealing with that, and we have to we want to give essentially a 4.8% raise over the next 4 years, and that's $100 million, and we're being asked for $575 million, and we can't afford it.
Let me read some comments here. We have a comment from Jane. A locally elected school board might be a nice change from the appointed folks with patronage, a persistent problem in Philadelphia politics. Perhaps some fresh air is needed. Comment from Kim. I'm a proud graduate of the Philadelphia High School for Girls. Will Girls High get more than one functioning science lab for more than 1,100 girls? An email from Eric. Renaissance Schools, Helen Kim claimed there's a problem with them and the SRC hasn't shut them down. What is Green's response? We mentioned this earlier. And then a comment from Rick. 552 school districts. We need county schools. Why don't you consolidate? I mean, Philadelphia is a county, so it's, it would be the surrounding counties that might want to take a look at consolidation. But that's kind of a mix of things. But sounds like Eric is not satisfied, Bill Green, with your response about Renaissance schools.
So
the two that are not
so there's
universal
two,
in the sphere.
There's two kinds of Renaissance, just so people are clear. I mentioned Renaissance as Blaine and Kelly, which is in-district turnaround. All Renaissance means is that you declare a school renaissance, and under the contract, you have to have all teachers reapply for their job, and they're chosen. That's what renaissance means. So there are that's on the district side. On the charter side, it means we took an existing public school and we turned it over to a charter operator.
Right.
If you look at, say, Kenderton and what happened when we got back a charter and the district was not prepared to take that over, it had a horrible start to the school year. I frankly I'm not confident that if we were to shut down Universal and Aspira right now that the families in those schools would be in a better position, and I'd like to see evidence of that before moving forward. And that's why – I can only speak to why I am not in favor of closing them at this moment. I can't speak to my colleagues.
Yeah, but that's been over a year. Kenderton was shut down in June when Young Scholars pulled out at the last minute because they didn't want to spend money for the special education costs of the students who are actually in that
school.
I'm
just stating what my reason is.
And
I'm sure you have
Aspira a
different view.
And Universal were recommended for closure last April. So, yes, it's true that the longer you wait, the less time people have. But you've now waited more than 8 months to make a decision about Universal and Aspira charter schools, which were recommended for closure by your own superintendent and by the office. And what is not gelling very well is your standard that you have no problem closing 30 public schools, for example, in a sweeping manner. And then when it comes to two schools where you are negotiating behind closed doors with
I'm not negotiating with anybody.
Well, you're saying you're having conversations with Ken Trujillo about and you're waiting
Ken
to see what he brings up.
Ken came and testified publicly before the SRC, and we were very clear.
And it's important to note that every single time that these schools come up, the SRC announces that it is going to table this because they're not taking – they don't have the votes to make it happen, which means that they're talking about it in private.
But are you saying that they treat charter schools differently?
They're treating
public schools.
Which, of course, is not
true.
We've closed many charter schools since I've been on the SRC.
They're treating a number of charter schools differently, which is one of the reasons why the Renaissance program has been under such scrutiny by our office in particular. For example, there are vastly different contracts that are given to different operators. Some operators have gotten sweetheart deals around utilities and staffing and rents. So, you know, there are clearly vast differences in the way charters are being treated across this city.
That's not true.
Since I've been on the SRC,
every Renaissance charter gets the same exact deal, has the same exact expenses, et cetera, with respect to running their school.
That is not what Fran Burns testified in city council.
I don't know what – it's absolutely true. There are legacy Renaissance charter schools who have historical deals that are better than the current deals that have been put in place since I've been there, but that's the fact.
So there are charter schools that have different deals.
but not since we professionalized the office during my tenure. That's my point.
Except
Helen.
For those, Universal and Aspira, which
they
are getting
created,
treated differently.
They were created before. Okay, their charters are over 10 years old. When people did make deals.
But you're in charge of them now, Bill.
But we can't – we have to
vote to remove
their charter.
Are those deals in place then?
Sure. Their existing charter is the deal that they have. And unless we either give them a new charter that they agree to or revoke their charter, they continue to have that deal. That's state law. There's nothing we can do. Once we create a charter, which is to Helen's point, and we are looking at this policy, instead of creating charters, do contract schools where we have much more control and the ability to take them back. And that's certainly something we're thinking of adding to the Renaissance program. For example, we're doing a contract school at Vaux with Big Picture, who I think is a good operator. That neighborhood should be excited. And with respect to Aspira and Universal, There's not a majority of the SRC who's willing to revoke their charters at this moment, and so that's that.
Go ahead, Helen.
Well, I think, you know, we should move on because I think it's important to recognize that the SRC has largely been a body of the past. 11%, according to a Pew poll, of Philadelphians support this body, and even Congress has better approval ratings than that. So, you know, it is time to move on, and it should end without delay. It's pretty broken right now, and we need to move on. And what I hope that the public can get excited about is the possibility of seeing a transition into the future, and that we need a lot of robust civic engagement, a lot of community control. There are things that the SRC could do right now. They could install ethics. They could install the transparency agreements.
That.
They could establish an additional meeting so that there's a planning meeting and an action meeting, so that's not just two meetings. It can be two meetings a month, not just one meeting. But in the meantime, the bigger picture is moving towards a robust local governance and self-control. That's what our city deserves. It's what everybody else has, and that's what I'll be working
and
for.
And ultimately, that's the SRC's goal once we hit a few more hurdles, jump over a few more hurdles.
My thanks to both of you for joining
you,
us
Marty.
Today in Radio
Thank
Times.
You.
You're welcome. Helen Gimm, Councilwoman at Large for the City of Philadelphia. Bill Green, a member of the School Reform Commission. Go to WHYY.org/Radio Times and you can find out much more about the program. God bless you. I'm Marty Moscoe, and thanks for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times. We'll be right back.